Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm your host, Chris Manning, here today on a Tuesday for your Mailbag Podcast. I just want to give you two quick apologies, real quick. This episode is coming out later in the day than it normally would. Normally, I like to have it out up on uploaded about 3 a.m. I usually record it the night before, edit it, get it ready. I am currently going through a little bit of a sickness, just a little bit of infection. I've been tired, and I went to bed at about 8 o'clock last night because I was being an old man. So this is coming out a little bit later than I would like, and I apologize for that. Secondly, there is not going to be a show on Thursday this week. I have a day job work trip to Canada. I'm going across the border for about a day and a half to attend a conference, and I just won't be able to record. I have meetings and some other stuff I have to do, so there will be no episode on Thursday, but I'll find a way to make it up to you. That is always my hope. If I can ever do an episode after something, my hope is that I can do something to make up for it. So we're going to do the mailbag today. As always, submit questions to lockedoncavs@gmail.com, on Twitter at lockedoncavs@gmail.com, or to me on Twitter at CDMMWrites. Again, check out yesterday's show with Davey Zirin. We talked about LeBron and the NBA protest. It's one of my favorite shows, if not my favorite. So please go check that out. And tweet me your thoughts on it. I'd love to hear your feedback on it. Whatever critique or comment you might have, I'd love to hear it. So we'll hop right in the mailbag today, and we'll talk a little bit about Tony Douglas, too, because I didn't get a question on him, but I think it's important to kind of evaluate what he is. And I'll probably do a 10-minute podcast for Thursday, just kind of on point guards, and run through that situation a little bit more. So we'll start with Kevin Garnett. Now, Shamar Weathers asked on Facebook, and I'm stealing this from Fear the Sword, but we're just going to roll with it. Anything new on Kevin Garnett, assistant coach? Because I think he'd help great with TT and K-Love on offense. So that's a really good question. I would say that there has been nothing new. I've checked with some people. It doesn't seem like if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the next day or so. That'd be surprising. But I'll say this. I think it'd be great. I think especially with TT, he'd be a really, really good influence. But I think it's more likely that he ends up in L.A. He has a home in Malibu. I think he's closer with Doc than he is with Ty, Doc Rivers and Ty Lue. And I think Paul Pierce is in L.A. I think the pull for him in the locality of the Clippers just makes a lot more sense. I also think it's possible that he does end up just playing this year for half the year, let's say in February or something like that. We've heard reports come out of Minnesota that he just did not really have a good relationship with Wolves owner Glenn Taylor, and that really impacted things. So, it's a shame that it ended up though with Minnesota, because he deserved to be treated with all the respect in the world for what he did for that franchise, and what he meant to that franchise. But I think if he's going to be an assistant coach, it's going to be with the Clippers. It would be a great fit with the Cavs. I'd love it. I think it'd make a lot of sense. It'd be funny to watch him and LeBron interact after their battles in the playoffs, but I think if he coaches, it's going to be with the Clippers. But I wouldn't also count on him playing. And I don't have reports on that. I don't have my own info on that. I'm just saying that, to me, makes a lot of sense. Shamar asked another great question. What's up with K-Love? Are they going to get him more involved in the offense? So I would say they probably will. That is at least the hope. I would say that it is something that is going to be one of the more fun things to watch this year. I think it's going to be really important to see what they do with Kevin Love. I don't think it's a guarantee that they use him more, but I think they should. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think if you're going to rest LeBron and you're going to play the long game, getting Love involved in the offense and getting him as a more organic part of the offense with post-ups and elbow touches and stuff is going to be a really, really important thing for this team. And I just don't see otherwise how exactly they are going to... I don't see another way that they could do it. If they're going to do it, this would be the time to do it. This would be the time for Kevin Love to really, really solidify himself. And not, it's not even like on him. It's really on Tyronn Lue to put the offense through him a little bit and make him a bigger part of the offense. I think it's weird to say this, but I think getting Kevin Love involved falls in the same category as getting Kay Felder ready for the playoffs or Jordan McRae ready for the playoffs over the course of the season. You have time to do it. You know the regular season does not matter as much as it does for other teams. You can experiment with stuff and see if it works. I think it makes a ton of sense to get Kevin Love more involved, to make him a more organic part of the offense. Maybe put him on with bench units on nights where LeBron rests or something like that. Just give it a different look. Try some things out and see if you can get him used more. The Twitter user KJ_NBA, who is a good follow, part of the NBA, Adam Mars's NBA PhD program, which you also should check out. It's on Reddit. You should go look that up. It's really great. I'm also on there, so shameless plug. But he pointed out that every year he's been in the league, Kevin Love's shot distance has gotten further away from the basket. His average shot distance has gotten further away from the basket. That has obviously continued a lot in Cleveland. I think a good step would be to, if a good sign would be that maybe it's a little bit closer this year. He's still going to do a lot of spotting up. He's still going to do a lot of stuff where he operates on the perimeter, but I think getting Love used more inside would be a really, really smart thing for this Cavs team.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
So Kyle Rayner asks, Kate, give me a backup point guard prediction. And Kyle Rayner, obviously not a real name, I don't think, because that's a 1990s DC Comics Green Lantern, but Kay Felder or Jordan McRae or somebody else. So they signed Tony Douglas, and this is where we'll bring in him. Played with the Knicks, played with the Pelicans last year. He's an okay player. I don't think he's actually that great, but it's no guaranteed money. They could cut him at any time. Replaced Eric Moreland in camp, so that's good to note. I'm going to say that McRae is going to be the guy at that position. I think he is the guy the team really likes. They've spent a year developing him. He's a little bit longer. He's a more polished shooter than McRae. But David Griffin said something really important at Media Day, and that's that they need to see McRae play the role he would play with the Cavs. In summer league, he was ball dominant. He was scoring a lot. He was just doing things that he is not going to get to do when he's playing with Kyrie, Bron, and Kevin Love. For him, it's really about adjusting to that role, being a good spot-up shooter, creating as the fourth or fifth option on the floor. If he can do that and defend point guards, he's going to be a very useful player. Him and Devon Schumbert, I think, could really fill that role. Schumbert's another guy. But I would like to see Kay Felder get a shot. I'm of the opinion that the guys that are available, at least in theory, are not going to be that much better than Kay Felder because I think Kay Felder's potentially good, and I'm not really high on some of those guys. Now, Cole and Tony Douglas might be better right now, but in a year or in 6 months, maybe Kay Felder can develop into that. And the only way you find out is if you let him play a little bit or if you send him to Canton and just let him develop. But I'm going to say that, weirdly enough, even though he's listed as a two-guard, Jordan McRae is going to play a lot of backup point. And just as you remember, on this Cavs team, that does not mean he's going to handle the ball if you're worried about that. If Amon Shumpert plays backup point guard, that does not mean he's going to handle the ball a ton. They will pair one of those guys or both of those guys with LeBron James, let LeBron do a lot of the ball handling and do a lot of the creation, and they will be shooters and slashers off the ball. And they will just defend other point guards. That is how that will work. It's what Matthew Dellavedova did last year, rather. And I think that is the way to look at it with this team. You don't need a total traditional backup point guard a la Darren Collison or someone like that to really fill that role. And I think that's fine. I really think they can make it work with McRae. If they believe in him, he's close with guys on the team. So don't be surprised if he's playing a lot of minutes at that spot. All right, just a couple notes, and we'll get to the last question of the day from our Twitter page. But just the Wine and Gold scrimmage, obviously you don't learn a lot from those. They're inter-squad scrimmages, not a whole lot happening. But I'll just say here's a couple things I did notice. The new court looks great. It's a black trim on the outside now. It's the reference of the jerseys the Cavs wore while winning the finals. So it looks really, really cool. So check that out. When you go to a game or if you see on TV, you're going to notice that it looks really, really sharp. It looks a lot different than the navy they had last year. There's also a sword in the middle of the court now that looks cool instead of the skyline. I think the new court looks really nice. Amon Shumpert actually looked pretty competent as a dribbler. That is obviously one of the biggest critiques of him. And I think he's looked really, really good in the scrimmage. And I think he's looked pretty good in camp so far. That's encouraging. He seems healthy. He seems in really good shape. He said he's lighter. He's the anti-muscle watch. Shout out to Lang Whitaker. But he is a guy who could have a really big role in this team this year, especially if J.R. Smith is out. And the early signs for Shump have been encouraging. And not surprisingly, Mike Dunleavy shot very well in the scrimmage, just looked very fluid, and if he plays that way in the regular season, going to be a really good get for this team. And if you're worried why LeBron didn't play, he's going to rest a lot in the preseason. I would expect to see him maybe three times, or if that, in the next couple weeks. They don't need to play him. He should just rest. And that's fine. You don't need him to be anything more than a guy who's there coaching and helping other guys in the preseason. You don't need him to really play. He's LeBron James. He doesn't need the preseason to be ready. He's been ready. If you go into his Instagram, he's still battling with a Versa climber. So that is about all there is with the Wine and Gold scrimmage. It's a fun event to go to if you're a fan, but in terms of what you actually learn from it, there is not a whole lot there. So our last question of the day comes from Twitter. It was submitted to us by Ray Jr., Rayham at Sports Ray Jr. So thanks to Ray. He said, if Griffin knew that Mo was retiring, could they have waived or stretched his contract and then paid Deli? So, Ray, that is click on his Twitter bio from Australia. So, I get this question makes a little more sense. But it's not as simple as that. Could they have waived Mo? Yes. The timing of all of this does not really add up to being able to keep Deli. And not only that, but the way that Mo Williams saves you money is that he saves you a little bit off your tax. Well, he's going to make $2.2 million. He was going to make $2.2 million before he retired, and that money is off the books now anyway. He retired in training camp, so end of September, right before the season starts. Things are already kind of going. Deli signed with the Bucks on July 7th. He signed a much bigger deal than I think the Cavs maybe were willing to pay for him. They believe they can replace him. He's going to make almost $10 million next year. The $2.2 million does not, over 1 year, does not really equate to paying Deli what he's going to make over 4 years with the Bucks. So it doesn't really quite work like that. Now, could they have just waived Mo and saved the money? They could have stretched his contract by the deadline in August. They didn't do it because it seemed like he thought he was going to play, and then he decided to play. But because he retired, the money is off the books anyway. But it was a good six. It wasn't even longer than that. It was almost 2 months, I think, if you look at the time, after you had Deli signed with the Bucks and the Cavs trade him in a sign-and-trade to get Dunleavy. Because remember, you don't get Mike Dunleavy the way you do, at least, if you don't trade Deli and let Deli go to create the trade exception that they used to get Mike Dunleavy from the Bulls. So it's not as simple as say, oh, if they knew Mo was going to retire, they could have saved that money and then used it to pay Deli. Deli was a very cheap player for them for a couple of years. He got a huge deserved pay increase under the new cap and for what he did, to $9.6 million in 2019, and he's making $38.4 million over 4 years with the Bucks. But $2.2 million for Mo Williams was not going to save you enough money to really pay Deli. And that's just basic money. That's just some basic finance. And just, again, the timing is so far off to how that would have worked that it just wasn't really a possible thing. I get missing Deli. He was a very useful player, a fan favorite. But he's going to do really well in Milwaukee, I think. I know looks like he's going to come off the bench, at least during the preseason, but I think he's going to be a really good player with Giannis. And he's going to be set up for success there. The Cavs have to figure out their backup point guard situation. But, you know, financially, for what Deli was, I can also just see them being it makes sense that they didn't bring him back. And with Kay Felder, maybe the writing was on the wall because they paid money to pick Kay Felder in the second round. So it is what it is. But again, Mo Williams' $2.2 million was not going to really get you Deli. and it was just not really going to be a really plausible situation for those two things to be related because of the time difference and the money difference. So, before we go, I'm just going to do something new this week. During the mailbag show, I'm going to have a little bit of fun with this. Starting next week, I'm going to be reading iTunes reviews. So please go give us a rating and review on iTunes. I'll read one every week. If you leave a good one, especially, I'll read it out loud, give you a shout out on the show. And also want you guys to tweet me at LockedOnCavs or at CW Writes something that you liked this past week. We want to have a little bit of fun on the show, so I'm just going to give you three things this week. It can be pop culture, it can be anything that you like. Tweet it, and maybe I'll give you a shout out on the show as well for submitting. But here's what I like this week. I watched most of Luke Cage on Netflix. It was good. Mike Coulter's awesome. There was a super little, maybe two. The plot wasn't great, but the character's really good, and I was into it. I finished this book by Dan Harris called 10% Happier about meditation and peaceful mind that I found great. If you're someone like me who gets a little bit anxious, that book is great. And I finally read this Wright Thompson feature on Theo Espin, the Chicago Cubs resident. Wright Thompson is the best of the best, and his article was great. But those are the things I like this week. Sometimes we're just going to have a little bit of fun with this. We'll talk about some random stuff to kind of pass some of the time when this calf season gets a little bit wonky and gets a little bit trite because there isn't a whole lot going on. But I'm happy to hear what you guys are into, too. I'd love to interact with you guys a little bit more. So make sure you tweet that stuff to me at SeedWinWrites or at LockedOnCavs. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes because, again, starting next week during the mailbag show, every week I will read one iTunes review from somebody and give you guys a shout-out on this show. So please submit those. Please go help other people find the show. And as always, contact me at lockedoncavs@gmail.com if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you to submit more mailbag questions. Thanks for listening. Again, I'll be back tomorrow with one show. But then on Thursday, there will be no show. And then Friday, the show will be back. Just have a little bit of travel. So thanks again for listening. This has been Chris Manning. This has been Locked On Cavs. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.